Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, we've had a lot of stuff go down in the last 2 weeks since we've recorded a full episode. First of all, we performed a sacrifice.
We did.
Which appeared to work in the short term.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty pleased with the result up until about 14 hours ago when, I guess it was longer than that, almost 24 hours ago, huh?
Yeah.
When the Sharks... we're unable to respond against the Ducks, but we'll get to that in a moment. So, a sacrifice. We went big time viral with a post with some of our fellow Sharks bloggers on Puck Daddy on Yahoo.com.
Right.
We got a lot of positive feedback for our witty banter.
Such as it is.
I want to give you full credit, dude, for the Top Gun section. Nicely done.
The Top Gun analogy was mine. I had a lot more in the initial version. I had a lot more stuff about like who Viper was and was Sundowner really Tim Robbins or not.
That's why everybody needs a good editor, dude.
Right. Everybody does. I edited your crap too.
I know. That's why I think together, that's why we make the beautiful, mediocre podcasting and vlogging team.
Just beautiful, okay music.
I noticed you were limping a little bit as you came into the podcast den, dude. What's going on?
Yeah, dude. I thought I actually broke my ankle there for...
what? When did this... what happened?
I took a shot in my hockey game.
When?
On Sunday night. And so I took a shot. And let me tell you, for those of you that yell at Douglas Murray or Dan Boyle or Jason Demers when they get hit by a puck, that shit hurts. It hurts a lot. And the puck actually, and it was a wrist shot. This wasn't even a slap shot. And it hit me right on the ball of my ankle, the inside of my ankle. And basically the entire lower half of my leg just completely went numb. And I just dropped like a sack of potatoes. And I couldn't put any weight on it for about 10 minutes. So it got helped off the ice. I was sitting there on the bench trying to put some weight on it. It hurt so bad. Waited about 10 minutes. Probably took, you know, 3-4 shifts off. And then the feeling slowly started to come back. And then I went out and kept playing. So I did the hockey thing. I kept playing. But then I woke up the next morning and it hurt so bad. I thought maybe it was broken. So I actually had an x-ray. But I'm okay.
You're okay, dude.
Which is really key because guess what is on Saturday?
I know it's Saturday. Saturday is Shark for a Day.
Shark for a Day. And so wouldn't that have been so just like biggest bummer ever if I break my ankle the week before Shark for a Day?
If you went on IR...
yeah.
So you'd be the James Shepard of Shark for a Day?
Yeah. Totally.
You'd be hobbling on a crutch. You'd be watching. You'd be wanting to participate. They tell you you can't.
Yeah.
Al McInnes is out there waving at you saying, wouldn't you like to be my D partner right now? I'm the planet.
Ally of Freddy, you mean?
Oh, that's right. Oh, Al McInnes. Boy, wouldn't that be something?
Yeah. And then he's like, here, have another slap shot.
Take that. Yeah, Ally of Freddy. Ooh. I'm also noticing we're speaking of new things.
Yeah.
That you have a new iPad 3, dude.
I did get the new iPad, and I'm now triggering all the sound effects from it.
What else you got? Hey, how about that for an intro for Martin Havlat's back, dude? We're talking about new things.
Yeah.
All right, we're talking about us being on Puck Daddy. We're talking about your iPad, mm-hmm. and now we're talking about the reemergence of Martin Havlat, which has paid some pretty immediate dividends
right
in these last three games, especially, dude. What do you think of Martin Havlat back on the second line?
Looking great. I don't, you know, it happens to be in the forefront of my mind, so I don't want to overemphasize, but he was directly responsible for Corey Perry's goal last night. That one that was the breakaway, and then Corey Perry tapped in the rebound. If you look at the replay, Martin Havlat had a step and a half on Corey Perry, and then Corey Perry just blew right past him.
I'm trying to focus on the positive record.
Okay, but anyway, he looked awesome in the other games. I know Fear the Finn wrote a post, is this what the Sharks have just really been missing, is Marty Havlat? Last couple games, at least before the Ducks last night, the answer is yes. He just looks great. We could see him with that individual skill, being able to create his own shot. I know that's a basketball phrase, but he can create his own opportunities. Good skating ability, great wrist shot. this is exactly what the Sharks can use from a scoring standpoint. And we saw the Sharks, you know, put up some goals. So that's nice.
We weren't even seeing this version of Martin Havlat when he was playing the 26 games before he tumbled like Humpty Dumpty over the boards.
Yeah.
This was not the guy I remember. He looked tentative. He was passing first, shooting later, you know, and that I found to be so irritating. I was like, this guy can, he can snipe. I mean, he can score. Mm-hmm. We need him to be a goal scorer. And, you know, he has some assists, but he's got some big goals in these last few games. And if we're looking at the positive, yes, you know, they went out and, you know, got points in Edmonton and Calgary. They came home, got their two most impressive wins in a long time against two really good teams. Right. Now, okay, Detroit is banged up. All right. They were playing without Lidstrom. They're playing without Erickson.
Right.
You know, but I don't care. We'll take it.
Right.
All right. And
they're playing without Franzen, too. The Mule wasn't playing.
Yeah, that guy's always out.
Datsyuk was back then.
Yeah. Datsyuk was back, and boy, was he ever. That goal was just completely sick that he scored. He seems to get one of those every year against us. I remember one of those from the playoffs last year. It was just ridiculous. And then the win against Nashville was very impressive also. Team that now adding Alexander Radulov back, you know, he's tweeting from a plane, you know, looking like some sort of Russian homeless guy on the plane. I mean, he's not exactly the classiest look for first class, but he's back, and you've got to imagine he'll be in the lineup in the next few days. I don't know. Maybe he's got to learn the system. Maybe he can't play right away. He's going to learn the system.
I bet in 2 weeks he's going to quit and go to the Swiss League.
Dude, can you explain to me how it is that Radulov is able to return and bypass the waiver process and Nabokov was subjected to it last year?
I think because Radulov is still on the 50-man roster. Obviously, he's not on their active roster, which is 21 guys. But each NHL team is allowed to carry 50 contracts in total, which doesn't count guys that are in juniors, which means that the beginning of the season is really important, right? Because those junior players could get sent back to junior. They don't count against the 50 contract limit, but they are still, the rights are still retained by the team. So to my knowledge, Alexander Radulov's contract is still on the books of Nashville. It still counts against the 50 roster limit, so he doesn't have to pass through waivers to come back to the team. Obviously, with Nabokov, he was claimed off of waivers by the Islanders, not on the 50 roster limit, so then had to clear waivers in order to make it to the team. So that's why Radulov can come back and not have to get cleared through waivers, because whoever's in last place would, otherwise, whoever's in last place would have Alexander Radulov.
Yeah, he'd be a Blue Jacket, just like that. Welcome. Nikita Filatov will join him.
Yeah.
So the difference is Nabokov was a free agent and signed in Russia, and Radulov violated his contract with Nashville, still is their property, and at the end of this run actually will become a restricted free agent, but by all accounts he's just going to trot back to Russia. I'm not exactly sure why he's doing this. I guess he maybe wants to have that flexibility to sign with another team, I guess, in the offseason. So this is a way of getting it out of the way and potentially going on a deep cup run with a team that looks poised to make more noise than they ever have in the past. I'm certainly would be more of a believer in Nashville making a cup run than the number one seed right now, St. Louis, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. St. Louis seems to be a team that's based on a system and a couple of really good players. And David Backes and, I guess, Halak. I mean, they got a lot of good players, right?
Sure.
But none are, you know, great players. And it seems like Nashville has slowly compiled this roster of great defense behind Shea Weber, Ryan Suter, and others. And now they have Radulov on the front end. They have both Kasitsyns now. They got Hal Gill, who's the depth defenseman. They seem to be built from a player standpoint to go deep, whereas St. Louis seems to be succeeding more because of a system. And I can't think of too many times where talent obviously doesn't win out in a 7-game series. It seems like systems can go for a certain amount of time, but I don't remember too many times where just the coaching system won out in the end. It seems to be almost always the best players and the best team makes it. So,
you know, a team, you know, it's hard to knock a team like St. Louis, and maybe we're just bitter and jaded because our team currently is not part of the playoff picture, although they're 1 point behind Colorado for the 8 seed and also 1 point behind Dallas for the 3.
Right.
I mean, so you magically could be the 3. If they win tonight in LA, they would be the 3, depending on what Dallas does against Phoenix. So that's a big game, obviously, to watch. I mean, someone's going to get a point there. I suppose we're rooting for them to both,
I don't know what,
implode. I don't know. Is there any way that they won't win? But you know, the Blues, if they drew us, or although we've been terrible against them this year, but
right.
If they drew LA as the 8,
mm-hmm.
If I was in Vegas, I might throw a little cachet on LA.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, right. It's certainly, they're not the most dominant one seed, probably.
Right.
That we've seen in a while.
Certainly not Sharks versus the Blues in 2000 when the Blues were the number one seed.
So I guess we should focus back on what's going on with the Sharks. You know.
Should we start with Scott's email?
Yeah, we've got a bunch of emails from listeners. We want to thank everyone for being patient with us over the last 2 weeks. We really felt like the sacrifice was needed and it sort of spoke for itself. And,
right.
And we wanted to get to you this weekend, but schedules did not comply. Dude, you know, the baby's only about 5 weeks away.
Nice, dude.
I know, dude. I'm going to be a dad in like 5 weeks.
You got enough Sharks paraphernalia?
I've got some, but not a lot. But I'm sure, you know, I can accumulate that very quickly. I always see stuff. I'm like, God, you know.
My baby needs skate guards.
I really need that, you know. But it always gets trumped by a Winnie the Pooh something or something like that, dude. But yeah, I was concerned at first because the baby's due date is late April, but apparently I won't be missing any playoff games. So yeah,
at this point,
it doesn't really matter.
I think you're going to be sitting pretty at that
point. All right, let's get to Scott's question.
All right, so Scott is saying, it's finally happened. After 21 years of season tickets, I'm at the point where I don't know if I'm going to renew my tickets for next year. Keep in mind, this was written 5 days ago before the... this is really before we even beat Nashville.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
I think this has come before the Nashville and Detroit wins. So okay, I don't know if Scott wants a do-over or not.
But. I don't know if he wants a do-over, but I'm going to read it anyway. I can't figure out if I just ran out of passion for the Sharks or if this year's maddening result has done me in. Part of me is actually hoping there is a lockout next season so I can recharge my batteries. But regardless of my decision to renew my season tickets, I'm definitely done with watching the current lineup. We need to blow this team up. I used to think Thornton is untouchable, but at this point, I'd rather watch a brand new team start from the bottom and work its way up over a decade than watch this core of players struggle to hold on to the past. My question is this. If you can only keep one on-ice line with three forwards and two D-men to build around, what would it be and why? He picks Couture, Pavelski, Winnick, Burns, and Vlasic. First of all, Scott, it's not time to give up the season tickets. My strategy, my philosophy about season tickets is... You keep season tickets until, you know, financial considerations obviously always have to intrude. But if you have the means, you give them up when you don't think the team is actually trying to win. That's just sort of the way I feel about it. I understand other people might think differently, but for me, you give it up when you think the team is actually, they don't really care that much about losing, you know, winning anymore. They're not really trying to feel the competitive team. And you can't say that about the Sharks. Okay, you can certainly make a case. It's defendable that the Sharks have put a team on the ice that it is not good enough to win the cup. And Thornton, building the team around Thornton was a mistake. I understand if that's your opinion, but you can't say this team isn't trying to win. They're trying to win.
No.
I mean, Phoenix is winning despite the fact that they're basically trying to lose. I mean, Columbus is just terrible. They're just kind of embarrassing. The Islanders, it's hard to get really excited about the Islanders. I mean, there's teams out there where you just say, what are they doing? There's no idea of what's going on. So, Scott, keep the season tickets. This team could still be good. So, that being said, dude, three forwards, two defensemen, who would you keep?
God, I hate to be completely dull and pathetic, but I kind of like his list.
Yeah.
You know, I can't really make an argument against... You can make zero argument against Couture.
Of course.
I don't think you can argue against Pavelski. We've been asking for a defensive forward for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I like Winnick. Would I like to see him finish some of his chances around the net? Yeah, he's pretty snake bit right now. He doesn't have a goal in, you know, I think a couple months. It goes all the way back to December or something like that. But, you know, this is the type of player that you need, that shutdown forward that can play mean against some of the other team's stronger players. I think you can make a pretty good case for keeping him. Burns is younger than Boyle.
Right.
It hurts me not to put Dan Boyle on this list, but if you're building for the future, you don't. And Vlasic is an absolute. So I think it's pretty well thought out combination of players. You got anyone you want to sub out?
I really want to try and find a way to keep Boyle. I think you need, if you're going to build the team for the future, you need a guy, you need a veteran player that can still play. I want to say Boyle. I might say Boyle over Burns just because.
Oh, dude, there's like an 8-year age difference.
I know. It's so hard.
I love Dan Boyle.
Yes.
I'm not afraid to say it. He's our favorite player.
Right.
You can't, moving forward, if you had to make the call, you've got to go with Burns. I mean, you got to go with Burns.
Yeah. Winnick, I'm trying to think of a better. Scott says, mostly because there wasn't a third forward that I care about anymore. And this is the kind of player that we need.
Can you make the case for Ryan Clough in that spot?
I might make the case for Ryan Clough because I think it's easier to get guys like Winnick.
We've been struggling to find one for a few years.
Well, I think if the Sharks went out and paid enough money, they could have gotten Manny Malhotra. They could have gotten Rafi Torres. They could have gotten these guys if they wanted to put the coin out there.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't for lack of availability. Whereas I don't know if you can go out on the free agent market and find Ryan Clough. Not that he's had a great season, right? And he's been not great in the last while. Okay?
Well, the problem is with the Sharks also is you can't go out on the free agent market and really get anybody. I mean,
and
this is a slight digression, dude, but we saw this even in the bigger picture this week with the San Francisco 49ers chasing down Peyton Manning. For some reason, Barry Bonds excluded because he's from the Bay Area.
Uh-huh.
The Bay Area just cannot draw a marquee free agent really in any sport.
Right.
In any sport. And it's frustrating because, I mean, I don't know, for those of us who live in the Bay Area, we know what an amazing place this is to live. And it's just hard to understand why someone else doesn't see that. I mean, you're talking about East Coast bias. I mean, you know what? You're going to, Denver's an all right place, I suppose, but you really want to live in Denver over here. Peyton, have another Slim Jim, you know?
I just think it's not, I think maybe actually justifiably, San Francisco is not seen as a massive hardcore sports town. It's just not. I mean, the kind of viral, feral allegiance that fans here have to their teams, I don't know if it's as serious and as important to a lot of the fans around here than it would be for Yankees fans in New York or, I mean, Broncos fans. I mean, they've sold out every game for however
long. Yeah, I guess.
Or even like Kansas City Chiefs fans. I mean, they sell out every game and their team sucks.
You did see a sold out arena last night in Oakland boo the owner of the Golden State Warriors. And that wasn't just about the trade that happened last week where they sent away their leading scorer for a big man who's hurt. But, I mean, that's like 20 years of pent-up frustration just being unleashed as an owner takes a microphone. Just a colossal boo.
And a new owner, too.
You know, anyways, sorry for the digression, but I like Scott's list. I think it's a fair question, and I agree. Scott, keep the tickets. You know, this team, while they're struggling right now, and they're so frustrating, and half of it doesn't even want to watch tonight when they play the Kings. Like, I'm so afraid that they're going to lose again and that find themselves now basically in last in the Pacific. You're not even counting the Ducks at this point and looking up at three teams that I feel like in my heart, I know they're better than, you know, like they're better than the teams they're chasing. And for some reason, they're not able to communicate that to their consistent play on the ice.
Right.
You know, I mean, if we're looking for a good news in this situation is you're chasing Dallas.
Right.
I mean,
that should be easy.
That shouldn't be that big a deal.
Right.
Like, we should beat them. Like, we should pass them. You're chasing Phoenix. You should chase and cut them down. You know, LA is the most dangerous team in that bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how we match up against them tonight, dude.
Right.
God, you know, we'll score in the first minute.
Oh, yeah. And then we'll give up one in the last minute.
Yeah,
what was that stat, dude?
Kevin Kurz from CSN Bay Area wrote a post about how the Sharks have given up 5 goals in the last 9 games a minute after they've scored.
Yeah.
So, like, example, last night, Sharks. Oh, actually, against Detroit, Sharks go up 2-1, right?
No, they go up 2-0.
So 2-0, sorry, 2-0. And then 30 seconds later, they give up a goal.
Right.
Last night, you know, it happened twice.
They did it against Nashville, too, I think.
And against Edmonton. Right. I think those are the five. So frustrating. I mean, you know, we were even joking the other night about how after they score, they should take a timeout. Timeout.
Okay. Hold on.
Get it together. And you look at last night, it's not like it's the same guys who are on the ice that are responsible for it. It was like every combination of lines.
Right.
And it didn't matter. We got another question here from Eric.
Okay. I may be seeing what I want to see, but it seems the Sharks started to play a lot better when they put Colin White's sorry ass in the rafters. To me, our D finally looks like it was supposed to, mobile, sound in our own end, and jumping into the play. I'm not exactly sure why it took so long for McClellan to make this change, but I sure hope it's here to stay. My question, what's the ideal fourth line going forward? Wingles, Gagliardi, Winchester, Ferriero? His guess is Wingles, Desjardins, and Gagliardi, and the next guys up are Winchester, Ferriero, and Hanzus. I don't know, dude. What's the best fourth line?
Yeah, I again hate to be so incredibly boring, but
yeah,
that's my pick. I gotta agree with you, Eric. Like, I think Wingles, Desjardins, and Gagliardi are the three guys I'd like to see running around out there on the fourth line. And that's kind of a wrecking ball of guys, not afraid to throw their bodies around, not black holes offensively.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a lot of energy, and I think that's what you need from a fourth line at this time of year. You know, Brad Winchester essentially is done. You know,
I'd rather have Winchester than Desjardins.
They're not gonna play him anymore.
I know, but they're saying, what is your ideal fourth line? My ideal fourth line contains Brad Winchester.
Hard to argue. I mean, Winchester's had a pretty good season.
Yeah.
And this is what Todd McClellan does every year. Jamal Mares, you know, see ya, Jody Shelley. End of the year. Yeah. Jody Shelley is the worst player of those three.
Right.
You know, and he didn't see any ice time, and then they just got rid of him. Ben Eager, you know, these guys, they serve a purpose for part of the regular season, and then they see the bench. Hanzus, they're saying now, is hurt. I think that's a bunch of garbage. I think they finally have seen that. You know, he's skating on cement blocks. The guy is offering little in the way of a defensive presence. And maybe, is he still useful on a second unit power play? Probably. But, you know, I don't think he's a solid...
You mean a penalty kill?
No. I mean, they were playing him on the second unit power play.
I guess that's true.
No, I don't want to see him out there on the penalty kill. Absolutely not. No way. You know, he was so bad that they had to trade for three guys to replace him.
Right.
Essentially.
Yeah.
You know,
you're right.
If he had done his job the way they thought he was going to, you don't trade for Winnick and Dominic Moore and give up a good young player, three good young players at a draft pick.
Right.
I mean, I want a refund on Mike Hanzus.
Yeah.
Like,
seriously.
I'm sure Doug Wilson does too, because he's cost the Sharks quite a bit of young assets. I mean, if you're going to point the finger like I did at the middle of the season, say most disappointing,
mm-hmm.
absolutely Michael Hanzus. You know, this guy was supposed to fix the third line, and instead he's been part of the third line. You know what I'm saying, dude?
Nice, dude.
Yeah.
The Irish third line.
Oh, give me a sound effect.
The third line.
Yeah.
Nice, dude. Oh, wait.
Oh.
Winning.
Okay.
Ah,
little late there.
What else we got, dude?
Dude, I don't know. What else do we have?
There was some talk about Colin White. I mean, he's definitely been benched. The Demers Braun pairing has been good some nights, not good some other nights.
Mm-hmm.
They've made some mistakes. They've looked really solid. I guess that's what you can expect from two young players. Not super stoked that's the third defensive pairing going into a playoff series against a team like Vancouver. That doesn't make me feel real good.
Right.
You know, to have, you know, two guys with basically two NHL seasons
mm-hmm.
of not even regular duty behind them. But Colin White has been pretty bad. And obviously they don't really trust Jim Vandermeer back there either.
Right.
So
yeah. When's the last time Vandermeer played defense? I can't even remember.
Not in a long time, dude.
This calendar year? I don't even know.
Not in a long time.
So, dude, how bad do you feel about the Ducks loss? Is it that bad? I mean, because there was some not nice things to say on Puck Daddy. I think he said just watch the Sharks completely give up the ghost against Anaheim and this kind of thing. I mean, how depressed are you about that? I mean, what is this? Where do you think the Shark? How do you rate the Sharks' chances for even making the playoffs at this point?
I still say good. I mean, really? Yeah, I do. I mean, I because of what I said before, the teams we're chasing are not good. I'm not afraid of them. I mean, Phoenix, Dallas, and you know what? We're going to see them. We're going to see them in person.
Right.
So if they can't beat them, then they don't deserve to go.
Right.
Like, they're going to have to go through Phoenix 2 times. They got LA 3 times. They've got Dallas 2 more times. You know, so that's, I don't know, theater major math.
Yeah.
8 games, right?
Something like that.
8 games.
Sure.
Yeah, you're not counting the Ducks again. So, dude, if they want to go to the playoffs against those teams, you got to go 6-2. You know, right. You got to go 7-1. Bury them, you mm-hmm. know, if you want it. Or they're not going to deliver. And I'll be really disappointed. I think everyone will, too. I'm not trying to be smug. I'm bummed. I'm pissed about last night. I can't believe that they laid an egg against the Ducks.
Right.
You know what? And everyone, let's say, the Ducks are playing fast and loose. The Ducks are playing fast and loose. They're not afraid to make a mistake. You know, if you're playing a bad team,
shut up. Yeah, they're bad.
They're not good.
Yeah.
So it's not a good hockey team. You can't give up goals right after you score against a bad hockey team. The Sharks just find a way to make
a bad hockey team look good.
Borderline NHL talent like Jeff Delorier.
Right.
Look like Patrick Waugh. Like, again, here's another.
Right.
Goalie.
I wish I could run the stat about how many backup goalies we faced this season made look awesome. It's so frustrating.
I don't know. You can think I'm a fool, dude, but I still think the Sharks are going to win the Pacific Division. Now, that doesn't mean that I think they're going to have a deep cup run. It's hard to have a lot of confidence in them right now because they could win the Pacific and match up with Chicago and get swept in the first round, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Right.
You know?
I'm saying coin flip. Coin flip, they make the playoffs at this point. 50% chance they make the playoffs.
So if they don't make the playoffs, we're looking at some sort of massive destruction of this team, right?
Probably. And we'll get there when we get there.
Right. But when we talked about on Puck Daddy, I mean, they asked us what was wrong. You know, he emailed us and he emailed Fear the Fin and a couple other contributors and said, what's wrong with this team? Who's to blame, right?
Right.
And we basically said, everybody.
Yeah, everybody.
Everybody, right? You blame McClellan for some really bizarre coaching moves. I think they're still saying Gagliardi's hurt. I don't know, dude. I still kind of don't buy that. Like, you know, maybe he's banged up, but like, there's something they don't like him.
It could be like
him.
A Nancy Kerrigan situation where someone just like hit him in the knee with a club or
they
something.
They don't like, he's the new McGinn, like of 2 years ago, where like they don't like him for some reason. And I don't see it. I don't understand it. If someone can explain it to me, I'd love to hear it.
Right.
He sure looks like he plays with a lot of fire and, you know, has he scored? No. Has he finished?
It's understandable why you wouldn't like McGinn. I mean, they drafted the guy. They brought him up through the minors. He's on the team. Maybe you don't like him. I get that. That happens. But why trade a guy and not like him? Like, if you don't like a guy, then don't trade for him. That seems to make the most sense. Here's a guy I really hate. All right, I'll give you a second round pick for him.
All right. And if, you know, do you blame Doug Wilson for the problems? Sure.
Yeah.
He's got some blame. He, again, like you said, you cannot fault him for not trying. I mean, the guy is trying. He's doing what he thinks is best. It's not like he's sitting on his hands and doing nothing. He's maybe done too much. You know, I don't
maybe,
know.
Maybe too much.
Maybe and too much.
And the nice thing is that I don't think that, I mean, Michael Hanzu's notwithstanding, he hasn't made some, you know, frankly, some of this business of being a manager in the NHL, I think, is about just not making huge mistakes. Signing Wade Redden for $6 million a year, that's a huge mistake. Signing Scott Gomez for $7 million a year, Bobby Holik for this is all the same GM, but you know, trading for Scott Gomez, I mean, some of these moves are huge, massive moves, and maybe everything that Doug Wilson has done hasn't worked out great. Michael Hanzus perhaps being exhibit A, but I can't point to a single trade or move that he's made that qualifies for a massive blunder. And, you know, that's a good thing, because I think a lot of GMs, maybe even most GMs, you can probably point to one or two transactions and say, dude, this was a terrible move. You know, trading Chris Pronger for Joffrey Lupul. Okay, not a good idea.
Yeah,
you know,
in
that
the moment,
kind of thing.
Not good, not good. I mean, and again, we also, do you blame the players? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they probably get the majority of the blame.
Oh, yes.
They get the majority of the blame.
They're the ones playing the games. They have to get the most of it.
Despite all this, dude, and I may look the fool next week when we come back, I think when we come back next week and we're recording, we will be in the third seed.
Okay.
I think we will.
That's
Kings,
Boston, and Phoenix.
Yeah. I think they have the opportunity right now, and I'm looking at the conference standings. Okay, Detroit is sliding. They're hurt. Chicago's winning. It's possible the Sharks could face Detroit in the first round
right.
as the 3-6, and that's not so bad for the Sharks.
It's really not.
Of the possible matchups, that's the one that you want.
Right.
Because we have ownage on them. We right. just do. And they're not the big bad Detroit anymore. So
luckily not.
We'll see, dude. But first things first, let's get a win tonight in LA. Let's get this back on track, dude. I'm not giving up. Not giving up on the playoffs, dude. We're going to push this home, dude.
I'm not giving up either, dude. I'm not giving up either.
Dude.
I want to see a win against the Kings tonight.
I want you to do the birthing class breathing with me right now. So we're going to... No, it's... We're going to push the playoffs out. It's coming, dude. I see the 3 seed. Cut the cord.
Dude. Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.